sometime in the past couple of months, a thing that doesn't normally happen happened, so that on that particular day, I was in my office and everything was as it normally is, and then I heard a noise. That's the part that's different. I'm not typically one that hears noises, but I heard a noise and it kind of caught my attention, but then it stopped. Well, then after a little while, I hear the noise again. And so I'm thinking that because of this event coming, there'd been a little more activity, and sometimes people would show up and be cleaning or fixing something. So I thought, well, maybe that's what's happening. It sounded too big to be the mouse that sometimes visits. Usually I don't see him. I see him. But after a third time of hearing it, I decided that I was going to get up and go discover what this was. I figured somebody was working somewhere in the building, and I needed to know who it was. So I walked through the Sunday school classroom, the nursery, and checked over there, and I came in the sanctuary and walked through, went back through the classrooms, and went downstairs and looked around, and there was no one. It was just me here in the church by myself. So back to my office I went. 5-10 minutes passed by, and the sound again. And it's not like a rapping on the window or a mechanical sound. It's a sound like a person moving stuff around. So I choose to ignore it that time. But then, as you're probably guessing, 5-10 minutes later, the sound again. So I'm really like, all right, I'm, there's a place I didn't look. Somewhere there's a person who didn't come say hi, but they're in the building, and I need to go find this person and just to know that there's a person here. So the same rounds again, trying to be even more thorough the second time. And there's no one here. So my strategy was, maybe if I close my door, even if the sound happens, I won't hear it. So I closed my door. Then, a few minutes later, I still heard a sound, although this was a little bit different, but I thought, well, the door's closed, that's why it's different. So there was, I've been around the church twice. There's no need to go do this again. I'm not going anywhere. And as I make my resolution not to go anywhere, Jason Shockley walks in the door of my office. Hi, George. And normally I'd be fine with that, except right at that moment, if we'd have had a defibrillator on site, because I was absolutely sure I was hearing things and there's no one here, and then suddenly there's somebody bursting through the door of my office. I don't believe necessarily that there are ghosts here, but I do believe there is a great cloud of witnesses here. There is a great cloud of witnesses all around this place from all across the years. One of the first things that really caught my imagination, those however many years ago it was, when I got here and first saw this church, was the stairs out in the front yard. I immediately fell in love with those stairs and the idea of people on their horses or in their wagons coming up and disembarking or loading up after church to go to wherever. And I loved that idea and the way that could spark your imagination. And I love every year when we're doing Vacation Bible School, having the kids out there and discovering, yes, that they are 5 years old. They tell us that thing too. I love to ask them, what do you think these stairs are for? And usually the consensus that they come to is that there used to be a building next to them. There must have been a building there, and the building's gone, but the stairs are still there. So you can see their eyes light up as well when they hear about, well, that's how you get on or off of the horse, or get on or off of the wagon that brought you to church. They love that as well. And so I knew that when we began this journey towards 160, that I'd ask my graphic designer son if he would make us a logo. I said, if there's a way you could put the steps into it, I would really appreciate that, which he did. And that's how they got to be there. Recently, in the midst of all the landscaping change in front, I discovered something that I hadn't seen in the 13 years I've been here, which was that if you're familiar with the grounds there, in front there were bushes, big bushes. Over the years they had grown, but they were right up against both sides of the entryway out there. so that there were probably 13 years worth of leaves and miscellaneous bits of trash that got up under there, but they were all up against it, and so you could not see the sides of the entryway to the church, but they're gone now, and it's beautiful and wide open. But what you can now see is that there's a second set of stairs, which makes perfect sense they are there, but I never imagined them or pictured them until I saw them there parked under the ramp. So when the ramp came in, those stairs were covered over, but there they are, still there. So I began to have this idea of the ghost stairs of Hebron Presbyterian Church, the stairs that once people used to get on their mode of transportation, the stairs that they once climbed to come into the sanctuary and to worship, reminded me of all those folks who'd done just that. That the ghost stairs were the ticket to remind me of the great cloud of witnesses, the people of Hebron. And as we're moving forward, for just a moment, I was thinking I might mention a few people, but instead of doing that, what I decided I would like to do, I would like to kind of make my way up the aisle and come back down. And as I go past where your pew is, what I would like for you to do is, if you've got a relative, or if you've got a friend, somebody who was a part of this place at some point that is important to this place. And I didn't want to just say everybody say a name at once. I want to have an opportunity for people to hear as you say a name out loud. And if you got more than one name, it does not take that long to say two or three names. But to go by and give you an opportunity to say a name of that part of the great cloud of witnesses who you are thinking of as we're in this place all physically here, knowing that they're spiritually here with us. So I just go by and invite you.
Susan Bean. Betty Howe.
Mitch Jones.
Sam Ray. My family.
My family. Sue Bailey.
Mary Bell and John.
Gentry,
Roger Holden,
Mary Anderson,
Harley Anderson,
Bob Anderson,
Mike Mills,
Sandy Clayton,
Lillian Johnny Ash.
All those folks here in this place with us. The Romans passage that was chosen by the group that gathered and that Andrew read for us, there was a verse that particularly drew them to that passage, and it was this verse. It was Romans 15:4. Whatever was written in the past was written for the instruction, for our instruction, so that we could have hope through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures. And the focus that we wanted to really lift out of that one verse was those words, hope through endurance. Hope through endurance. Endurance is not easy. It could have said hope through many different things. It could have said hope through magic, or hope through wealth, or hope through inactivity. As a couch potato often, I would have liked hope through inactivity. But it says hope through endurance, and in brief, hope through endurance is the Christian journey. Christ came, Christ lived, Christ died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. That's hope, but there's a time frame to it. There's endurance along the way. But as we make our way on that journey, it is the hope that sustains us. Endurance is commitment to never stopping. Endurance is the commitment to stay with it on the journey, to not give up. Always moving forward with hope. So it's hope that pulls us along, hope that moves us forward. I threw in that gospel reading, and I'm going to tell you a couple things about the gospel reading. One, please read through that. It's a wonderful gospel reading, and spend some time with it, because in my mind, that's maybe one of the two or three most pivotal scriptures in the Bible, in my reading of it, in my estimation. So we could spend a lot of time with it. But the thing this morning I wanted to have from it is just to tell you that it's a moment there in Luke's gospel where everything changes. Where up to this time, Jesus has been in the Galilee, he's been going about his public ministry, and then comes this moment in Luke 9 where Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem, where Jesus determines to go to Jerusalem. And he doesn't mean it the way like Jesus decided to go to the store, or Jesus made a decision to do the something that he always does, but it means it in a very particular way. Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. When he gets there, it's going to be the events of Holy Week. Going to be the arrest, the crucifixion, and then the resurrection, so that it's a marked moment. It's a moment of change, but it exemplifies what we're thinking about in terms of hope through endurance. Jesus has got a long road ahead of him. The rest of Luke's gospel, if you were to look this up in a commentary, somebody would reference it for you as Luke's traveling gospel. So up until this point, you've had Jesus around the Galilee mostly, but here you have Luke's traveling gospel, where Jesus is on his way from home to Jerusalem for that final trip. And that took endurance. That took a commitment to that purpose, but I believe that he did it because of the hope that he knew would lie at the end of it. And not just the hope for his ministry, but the hope for the world. The hope for us, reaching out to and stretching up towards today. So back to my ghost steps. I think those steps are a tremendous symbol of endurance over the long haul, of time and the passage of time. And for our purposes this morning, rather than have them be simply ghost steps to bring them into our worshipful realm. Let's call them Holy Ghost steps. Anybody come on a horse this morning?
Mustang.
Mustang. Anybody come on a wagon? He says El Camino. All right. Did anybody pull your car over to the stairs to get out this morning? No, we most of us probably parked in the parking lot and came in sort of the usual way up the sidewalk. Those stairs, we don't use them anymore. No one does that anymore. But they are there. They remind us. They remind us, but we have moved on. Like no one said, well, the stairs are there and we really need to keep using them because we always have. We've moved on from that, but they're there and they remind us of the folks who have come before us. The steps into this building, if you came in here this morning, you did not use those steps. If you walked in here, you came up the ramp into the building. The stairs were great, obviously, and worked for many years, but you know what? The ramp is better. The ramp makes us more accessible. It allows more people to come in the doors. And so the stairs were great. The ramp is a great and wonderful improvement. All these things were wonderful and important in their time, but the thing about endurance is we adapt. And new challenges or new learning comes along, and we move forward in time. And so we move forward. Now we got parking lot for our cars, not a place to hitch our horses. And we have a ramp so that more and more folks are able to come into the sanctuary. The lesson of the ghost steps, the Holy Ghost steps, is to remind us to of the faithful presence of all those folks we named, of that great cloud of witnesses. And it is to remind us that endurance is part of always moving forward in the journey. And moving forward in the journey means adapting to new circumstances. We at 160 are a fairly old church. We are not the oldest church. There are churches that are older. The first church I served is having its 200th anniversary this summer, later on in August. I look forward to going back for that. But as a point of sinful pride, I have to confess that I've been paying attention to churches that are old. And many churches that are old, such as the church that I'm going back to celebrate its 200th anniversary, if you stood outside of St. Charles Presbyterian Church and looked at it, you would say, maybe 1960? Because that's about when the building was built. So it's a 200-year-old congregation, but the building is not there. One of those things that just lifts me up is that where you're sitting today is where people have worshipped here for 160 years. You literally are in the same space. And that is a powerful and awesome thing to think about when we think about those folks that are around us. We have been given, and Pat was talking about this, we have been given a tremendous gift by the folks who came before us, who were here and who did all the work and offered all the praise over across all of that time. We are the recipients of a wonderful, awesome gift. And today those folks we named, others who we didn't name, that great cloud of witnesses is alongside of us, and they are cheering today. They also are not the frozen chosen. They are happy, they are rejoicing, they are cheering this day. And they are in their cheering. If you listen, you will hear it. In their cheering, they are encouraging us to endurance for hope. They're saying, it's not just an idea, it's a thing. It's a real thing that real people actually do. They endure. They live through great days and hard days, wonderful times and challenging times. And they move forward because at the end of it, there's hope. And they are witnesses for us to that hope. So we have the steps that we no longer use and remind us of the great past that we honor. And what we do now is we move forward. That's who we are called to be, is what we're called to do. People who celebrate where we've been and give thanks for the gifts we've received and now move forward in faith. Move forward prepared, equipped to meet new opportunities, to embark on new ministries. Like Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem, setting our faces towards God's great future. Stepping into the future. I say all that to tell you this. I can't wait to see what happens next. Thanks be to God. Amen.